Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.
To Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Game for the win! Ayler's gone! Goodbye! Touchdown, Indy! Woo! IU! America! They got a football team now!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop!
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
How are you doing? Welcome aboard. Appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday. Another fun day. Looking forward to talking to Mike DeCourcy as he'll join us. And Indiana commitment, Trent Sisley. As for all of you that are still worried about his commitment, you can rest assured that there's no problem there. But we'll hear from the young man who will be playing actually in the Chipotle Nationals here at Hamilton Southeastern High School coming up next week, as a matter of fact. Next Wednesday is when that is, and I invite everybody to go out if you can. As a matter of fact, April 2nd at Hamilton Southeastern, number 7, Montverde takes on Dynamic Prep at 6:15 p.m., and Jermaine O'Neal Jr., one of the players on Prolific or Dynamic Prep. That's the kind of talent that is in this tournament, people. It's crazy how good some of these guys are. I think aren't the Boozer brothers still in? Aren't they seniors? If so, they'll be in this. But it's some high-level basketball. Last year, I sat next to Carmelo Anthony the whole time as his son was playing. So lots of fun things to get out and watch as we've got college basketball entering the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. You've got Indiana's high school state finals that are going on this weekend. I encourage you to get out and support that as well, as I'm looking forward to seeing these state finals. And I don't cheer teams on generally, but hey man, I'm not gonna lie here. I'm behind my man Sherron Wilkerson and the Jeff Red Devils. Oh, again, you have no idea how hard that is for me to say, being a Floyd Central Highlander back in the day. But it is what it is. I don't mind it. He's great people, and that would be incredible to see. What a story that would be. Seriously, I know a lot of you guys probably don't know all of the backstory there, but Sherron won a championship with Jeffersonville, leading the Red Devils to a title in 1993 as a player. He was Mr. Basketball, obviously on the All-Star team. He ended up, I think, quitting the All-Star team, had an issue, and then had a personal issue later, as he has mentioned before. And this is a guy who has done the biggest 180 in life of anyone I've ever seen. So I have never been, more respectful of someone in my life. When they say people can't change, trust me, it's not true. Point to Sherron Wilkerson, one of the greatest humans I know. Now, if they win on April 2nd, they'll play again the following day versus Link Academy. at 4 on, and the rest of those games will be on ESPN2, except for the championship, which will be on ESPN. So get a chance to go out and watch a future Hoosier. You can see exactly what he's going to be like. Appreciate everybody joining us. Andrew, how are you doing, sir? Up in Fort Wayne, where you can hear us on 1380 The Fan, Fort Wayne's only sports station. Keep it locked right there, as is, if you're in the region, the voice of the region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and down in Evansville on 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, always the right call. Appreciate everybody, no matter where you are, and if you're listening across on YouTube as well, please just hit the like button. That's all I ask. Just hit the like button. Subscribe would be great, but the like button is even nicer. Couple of Indiana players in the transfer portal now that have joined Gabe Cupps and Malik Renew. Ja'Kai Newton went in, as well as Mackenzie Mbako. Doesn't mean that they are gone, but it also matters whether or not Darren DeVries thinks that they meet up with what he's trying to do. Now, names you have not heard yet: Miles Rice, Kalen Carlisle, and a few of those others that have remained quiet. Now, partly because Kalen Carlisle's no doubt not going to get paid anywhere close to what he got paid last year. But I wonder, he didn't exactly fall off the turnip truck the year before that. He had a pretty good season, as did Miles Rice, who wasn't bad for Indiana last year. What will a system period do for those players? A system in which they can actually play within, that actually uses them and their talents in a forward manner. Don't write off those guys. Don't write off Kalen Carlisle. Yes, he's not a shooter, and he needs to not be shooting the ball. But, who's to say he doesn't have a role? And if you follow those roles, well, there was another coach that Indiana had a long time ago that had a lot of role players. Your role is this, your role is that. Works pretty good when people follow what they're doing. So, Shay, how are you doing? He listened to us as well from Evansville, but he's down at Panama City Beach listening to us live, where it's a lot nicer and a lot warmer, Shay. So we appreciate you, my friend. And everybody else jumping on the hotline here. Let's see. Yeah, there you go. Tyrone, big Jeffersonville backer. Home of the 2025 Indiana 4A Boys State Finalists. That would be cool to add that up. That would be cooler. Kevin from Jeffersonville as well. So we got a lot of people from down in the area. Cisco Sunrise. Love passing through Burksville on his way to the lake. Well, I wouldn't mind being on my way to the lake. Although, weather's not that great. I like it a little warmer. Little warmer. Scott congratulating Jeffersonville, and yeah, hopefully they do well. Hey there, Aaron, jumping on as well. How are you, sir? Appreciate you being with us. Lots of Madisonville, get out of here. Eric jumping on from Madisonville. Well, guess what, brother? That's where my daughter lives. Well, when she's not in school at Ole Miss, but wow, yeah. Appreciate you. All the way down to Madisonville, Kentucky. But we appreciate everybody, no matter where you are. Andrew saying that no Cinderellas this year, unless you count Arkansas as a 10 seed. No, they're not a Cinderella, because they're not a Cinderella. But I saw that someone had posted that. It was an article. Oh, it was maybe it was Stephen A. Smith complaining about it. Yeah, I understand there aren't going to be Cinderellas anymore, but at the same time, you have to understand college basketball has leveled out. You don't have this big point at the top where you only have one or two teams that are just dominant. While Duke is a good, really good team, Auburn's a really good team, no one is undefeated. And Duke went through the ACC and didn't go undefeated. And the ACC stunk. So while you're not going to see the massive upsets, the number of them that you're accustomed to for the NCAA tournament, what I think you are going to see, well, it will be a little more chalky, but these games are still good games, and both teams in that game have a chance to win. It's not like they don't. So I think like anything else, we'll get used to it. But it's going to be, it's not going to be the same teams at the top. You're not going to see Duke every year. I just don't believe that's going to happen. Although they're currently one of the better teams, I don't know that they win this thing. I think it might be Florida. The SEC has really jumped ahead of everybody as far as the conference. Big Ten, not terrible, but they're trailing. So they're going to have to amp it up a little bit. But it's a much more, a rising tide raises all ships. And all of the ships seem to have risen with the talent from the mid-majors going to all kinds of different places. It's also going to be a way that Indiana gets back to being Indiana. But don't expect the Indiana of the 90s, of the 80s, of the 70s. Those dominant days are gone for anybody. But you can be competitive at the top year in, year out. And that will be the same. That will be just as good. So, I'm fine with that. Competitiveness is what you want to see. Knowing that the team you follow has a chance. Great Mike DeCourcy is going to join us next. We'll continue this conversation from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Up next, Mike DeCourcy. Welcome back on this Tuesday to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. And grateful to have the great Mike DeCourcy with us from the Sporting News, Big Ten, and Fox Networks. How are you on this Tuesday, Mike?
I am doing very well, Jim. Drowning in a sea of narratives, but otherwise doing well.
Is that the Cincinnati Reds I see across the chest?
That is. That is. I thought, we're close enough to baseball season to wear a little gear. I don't know.
Hey, I'm a Reds fan. Well, I did not know. I would have pegged you for a Pittsburgh fan.
My wife, when we were living in Cincinnati and she was working for an outfit called Dan Pinger Public Relations, she had the contract to just, she wasn't pushing the button on destroying Synergy Field, but she did the media for that. She's in public relations. And so she organized the media for the destruction of Synergy Field and the construction of Great American Ballpark. So she fell in love with
the old original Riverfront Stadium.
That was Synergy Field. Yes, that was Riverfront Stadium. And like I said, she didn't push the button, but she made sure that all the people who were covering it were at a safe distance, among other things. And then she coordinated the opening of the ballpark, made sure that all went well. And so while she was working with the Reds, she really liked the people. And so she's the bigger baseball fan in the family, Jim. I'm somewhat of an agnostic on baseball since they refused to have a salary cap. So I am a Reds fan by marriage.
Yeah, I grew up a Reds fan. Went to, daggone it. I just said it now.
Crosley Field. Name of,
Crosley. Well, not Crosley Field, but I'm not that old. Come on, Mike. No. I'm not that old.
I am.
Riverfront Stadium. I went to Riverfront Stadium as a kid. Yeah, I got to see some the Big Red Machine, man.
Yeah.
It was cool. I was very young, but I remember we had decent seats, but I hated that stadium. It was a cookie cutter heat machine. artificial turf right next to the river in the Ohio River Valley. Let me tell you, having grown up in southern Indiana, it's a pressure cooker. It's so hot and the humidity is ridiculously stupid. But nice stadium now. I love Great American Ballpark. Don't get there enough, but yeah, looking forward to it. Maybe the Reds can do something this year. Before you joined us, I was talking about the fact that there's probably not going to be a lot of or few Cinderellas in the NCAA tournament anymore. But at the same time, other teams have risen up, and there is a line of teams that is much, much wider that are competitive at the top, and they may not beat the higher seeds, but they're going to compete with them, and they can beat them. So while there may not be nearly as many Cinderellas, there's also not going to be the dominance by programs that we used to see. Duke is a good program, but I don't know that they win this thing, and they're not unbeatable. They got beat in the ACC, which is a very weak league. So they're all beatable. And I'm fine with that because you just have a lot more teams that are good and capable with this. But everybody doesn't see it the same way.
Well, you know, Jim, I think that some of the – like, people want easy. It's really that simple. They want easy. Have to turn a page is hard work. And the people that I'm talking about are people who have very loud voices. And I'll call them out. I mean, Stephen A. Smith going on television saying this is the death of the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just like, how ridiculous can you be? I mean, all you have to do is turn one page and realize that, first of all, this is more likely to be an anomaly than a trend. I mean, you can't make 1 year with a trend. You can't make a trend with one year, but you can make an anomaly with 1 year. So we don't know yet whether this is the way it's going to be. It's not as if Princeton, when they went to the Sweet 16 just 2 years ago, had more talent that everybody's taking away through the portal or whatever. It's just that's the way it worked that year. Princeton played great two games and then played pretty well against Creighton too in Louisville, because I was there. And they went to the Sweet 16. But it's not like all of a sudden the portal starts, so all of Princeton's best players are gone, and that's why this happened. I mean, that's not what happened. Yale a year ago won a game and beat Auburn. Auburn's now one of the favorites for the national championship. Auburn went out and beat them last year. It's not that long ago. And the other part of it that no one seems to want to acknowledge is that the who is a power has changed. Houston is the number one team in the Midwest region coming to Indianapolis. Okay, when I was working in Memphis less than 30 years ago, when Conference USA was formed, with the Great Midwest and as well as some teams that had been in the Metro, and the Metro was kind of breaking up, and so they brought in Louisville from the Metro. They brought in, I believe, Southern Mississippi at the time, and that was Conference USA. And they brought in Houston, and it wasn't like, oh wow, we get Houston, Jim. It was, oh well, you know, Houston's in a big city. Let's go ahead and take them. And I went to, and I covered a Memphis at Houston game in the 1995-96 season. And there weren't 15 people there. I mean, okay, there were 100. I'm exaggerating. There were 100. There were 100 people there, something like that. It was almost empty. That's how little interest and attention there was in Houston Cougars basketball in 1995-96. It was the Tigers, and the Tigers were coming off. I think they were ranked in the top 10 at that point, something like that. And there was nobody there because there was that little interest. And now they're filling their building. Their building's brand new. They've got Kelvin Sampson, who's a Hall of Fame level coach, and they're the number one seed in the region. So is that maybe not a Cinderella story? I don't know. Or does it have to have a 15 attached to it? Pay attention to the sport and then tell us what you see. Don't come in one day a year, watch a couple of games, and say, oh, this is over. because it's not fitting the old school narrative. I'm really tired of that. It happens every March, Jim. They tell us it's a one-month sport because it's inconvenient for them to follow the sport. It's okay if you don't pay attention to it. It'll survive. It's fine. If Stephen A. Smith and others like him, Dan Patrick, et cetera, if they don't want to pay attention to college basketball will be fine. It's great. It's unnecessary for them to follow. If they just want to keep talking about the NBA and NFL, that's okay. The sports will survive just fine. But don't try to redefine what's happening when you don't have a knowledge base.
Yeah, it sure has managed so far without those guys.
Those guys don't cover it. They don't pay attention to it year-round because it's inconvenient because there's 364 teams and 75 that are at the highest level. It's hard to know everything that's going on. It takes a while in the season for me to know who all the important players are because it does change now more than ever. So it's hard, and it's a lot easier to follow the NBA. You got to know LeBron, Steph, KD, and then you're good. You know, you don't even have to know who Tyrese Halliburton is. You should, but you don't have to. And that's how too much of that discussion operates. And so I'm not interested in the idea that they think that because there were fewer upsets in the first round and basically almost none in the second, very minor seeding disparities like Ole Miss over Iowa State, that all of a sudden this sport is in trouble. I'm not buying that at all.
I'm going to ask this question, even though I'll answer it before you do as well. But Chris asks, would you mind asking Mike if he thinks Derek Queen traveled on the game-winning shot? Interesting. Personally, to me, it doesn't matter because you cannot take a game down to a single play. There were 100 different things that happened during the game, fouls that weren't called, fouls that were called that probably shouldn't have been called, travels that were not called. I just don't think you can boil it down to one play. Maybe he did, but it doesn't matter. It's part of the game. Missed calls either way are part of the game, in my opinion. So to me, it doesn't matter because it's in the books.
Well, I think he probably did, although Gene Steratore, a fellow Pittsburgh area guy who has been an NFL.
Oh, is he? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. My brother played high school basketball against him.
Ah.
How about that? So I've been aware of Gene for, gosh, more than 40 years. But then, of course, was reacquainted when he became a Big Ten ref and then a significant NFL ref. And then I think that I'm not sure I agree he was necessarily fouled on that play with Cooley there. But I will say that if we want to relitigate the game, let's go back to the late first half, right before halftime, and Neek Clifford, who is Colorado State's best player, a all Mountain West level player, sticks an elbow into Jordan Geronimo's ear, and it seemed
close to it was
arguably purposeful. I mean, it looked as though he was checking to make sure what he was doing. He said he didn't know he was there, and he apologized when he talked.
Then
to
why would you say, if you didn't know somebody was there, why are you swinging an elbow to clear out space?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, Andy didn't have time to ask a follow up there. They only get a couple of questions in there, but in that circumstance,
how does that not, I don't understand with replay how that's not called. That was right until his temple.
What had to happen there, honestly, the mistake that was made there was Jordan did not go down and act as if he had been struck in the head with a baseball bat.
Let me, for those of you on radio, I know you can't see this, but the flop has kind of gone away, not completely, but a lot. But now the thing in college basketball is if you get hit anywhere from the upper chest up, watch the player. The head snap comes about 1 second later to make sure the official sees, they throw their head back. It drives me insane, but that's the latest flop that they've got going.
Yeah, if Jordan had gone down at that point and feigned a greater injury than he received. He got an elbow in the ear. I'm sure it wasn't nice. But if he had feigned even a greater injury, they would have probably gone back and looked at it. And if they had gone back and looked at it, they would have judged it to be at minimum a F1 foul. And it was certainly open for discussion whether it was an F2. And what is an F2? An F2 is Nick Clifford doesn't play any more college basketball, perhaps. I mean, that would have been the rest of the game for him. And I believe that was his last year. I'm not 100% sure. But that's what would have happened. He would have been out for that game if it was an F2.
Probably would have changed the game.
Exactly. So we can't relitigate the entire game. It's possible that Derek Queen slipped an extra step in there. I don't like where the rule is as it is, because you shouldn't be able to take two steps. It used to be a step and a half, and now you're able to take two. They have basically allowed that to take place, and I'm not sure that's the greatest thing for basketball, but whatever it is, I think that Colorado State's complaints had to be mitigated by the fact that they got to keep their best player in the game for 20 plus minutes that he might not have been in. And if at minimum, Maryland would have had an opportunity to score 4 to 5 points on one possession that they did not get, that the possession that was not granted to them as a result of what was clearly at minimum an F1.
Something that drives me nuts is the block charge, which I know it's a tough deal, but to me, if the offensive player is in his final motion meaning stop dribbling and is taking his step and a half, if he is into that motion already, I do not see that the defender should be allowed to get set after he has entered that motion. And a lot of times we're seeing that if an offensive player is in his last step, if the defender gets before his last step, they're going to call a charge. I don't think that's right, because if you're already in your motion, you have started that motion, and to slide in after the fact is maybe it's just too hard to call, but I see it constantly and it's not right. As long as they get set that last second, they're calling charges, and it's not right in my opinion. I don't think it's supposed to be called that way.
I agree with you, Jim, but I'm what I don't agree with is I'm not seeing that. I mean, I saw it once this weekend in watching however many minutes of basketball I did. I only saw one of those all weekend. I'm not seeing a lot of charges called, and especially not on plays that are last second type secondary defenders coming in. Remember, if I run you over, anywhere on the floor, that's supposed to be a charge. Even under the circle, in the charge circle, if I run you and you're guarding me, if I run you over, that's a charge still. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm not supposed to go through you to get to wherever I want to go. But the secondary defender, that player has to be established before I get into that final upward motion. And so I'm not seeing a ton of that. I've been delighted by the absence of it. I think it's one of the reasons why the game is so beautiful now, because we're seeing so few of those. That's why we're seeing scores that go into the 80s and 90s, because you can't just jump in front of every driving ball handler any longer and possibly get away with injuring the ball handler. I think the refs have done a really good job of enforcing it in general, and even more so coaches have stopped teaching it because they know that it's going to be a possible and one, which means it adds a free point onto what will already be a layup, and it'll put their important players in foul trouble. When you've got teams like Maryland's not jumping in front of anybody. I mean, they got five guys. If they get a rough charge call, even if the guy's set and they get a charge call instead of a block call instead of a charge, they're in trouble because they've only got five guys they really trust. And so I'm not seeing a ton of it, and I'm delighted. There are things about the NCAA game that I don't appreciate. The endless reviews have got to go.
Oh man!
But the adjudication of block charge, I think has gone pretty well.
The other one is down low in the paint when a paint player has the ball and you know how they back try to back a guy down, and boy, you see that first little shove that they take, and they give him a second one, and that third one, oh, the guy all of a sudden hits the ground, and they call that a charge. And I'm like, come on, dude, you just saw this go on twice. How do you think he's not throwing a flop in there? How do they not understand that's a flop when they see him take the same blow twice before?
I think there's some truth to that, Jim, but I also think that there's also sort of a art to that.
There is, especially the guys that on that next time get out of the way and let the offender fall down.
Right. Well, I think there's an art to how you officiate that as well. We're going to give you two. If you can't get to where you're going on two, then the third is a foul. I think that's kind of where we are.
I don't have a problem with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, Trey Kaufman Wren doesn't need the third, right? He doesn't need three. He's going to get you in maybe one because his feet are so good. That's the thing. The guys who can't get to where they want to go on two aren't good enough at what they're trying to do and need to get better. I think that's basically the message.
Is that true? Juju Watkins tore her ACL last night?
It is true. It was early in the game. She was driving and on a break in the right side. It was one of those injuries that those of us who watched sports long enough kind of knew, because it was a non-contact. So the odds of it being an ACL immediately went skyrocketing. It's pretty rare when you go down with a knee problem from that non-contact type thing that it's not something like that, either partial or full or some ligament tear. Unfortunately, hers is an ACL, and she will obviously be out for this year. Plus, the timing on it makes it hard for her to have a full season next year. So she's probably had her greatest college basketball year, unless she decides to play 4 years at SC. Because next year, I mean, we saw this with Bryce Hopkins at Providence, blew his knee in February of 2024. I think it was February. Might have been January. When they tried to come back this year, and he's just not himself early enough to have a full impact on Providence's season. So she's phenomenal, and I'm sure she's going to do her best. But it's hard to hop into a midseason and be yourself. And that's basically with a typical ACL recovery time. She's looking at probably December before she'd be able to go, with it happening in March. And that's the modern, fairly quick recovery time we have now. If she took a full year, of course, she'd miss almost all of next season. So really, really sad that a player this gifted, I mean, a phenomenal player, I think the best women's player in college basketball, to not be able to complete the tournament and then to have to recover and have her junior year damaged as well. Really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we've got to take a quick break. The great Mike DeCourcy is with us, and we'll talk about some coaching changes when we come back, and his thoughts on Indiana as Darren DeVries has taken over the head spot in Bloomington. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. The great Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Big Ten, and Fox Networks with us. We appreciate him as always. William asked, do you think the money of players that they get should be public record? It's a good question. And so I think it should be because of the amount that these people are getting paid. I don't know people that are getting paid that kind of money that it isn't known, but I know that there plenty are, because if you're getting paid from a private place that is not disclosed, it's like many coaches. We don't know if they're at a private institution. We don't know what their contracts are, buyouts and things like that. So there's a battle to that side, but I know people would like to know just because, but I think that would just cause a hell of a lot more headaches because people would be banging. And that reminds me of here of late, I've heard talk about, you know, whether it's gambling losses, but people reaching out to athletes. First of all, there is no reason, None. I don't care if you're a fan. No reason you should be sending messages to athletes. I just think that that should not, don't do it. It's not in your place. Post it somewhere. Post that you like them and you can tag them. But sending direct messages to people, it's literally crazy. And I heard Luke Goody talk about this in the locker room. The amount that they messages they get that are bad. And I'm like, people, what the hell is wrong with you? But why should I be surprised? It's no different than road rage when you have the anonymity to hide behind.
Yeah, I first of all, I would say that I don't think that as long as the players are not being compensated by the schools directly, and so that money is not from a state institution, so to speak, yeah. I don't think there's any reason why that money, that number should be public. People don't know what my salary is for any of my jobs, and I don't think that they need to know that. It's my private business, just as it is Umar Bhalla's private business, what he gets paid from the collective or whatever source at Indiana. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. The problem with telling people that they shouldn't be contacting athletes is that the people who would do such a thing don't care what they should do.
Right.
They're not going to follow what is a convention, etiquette or whatever. They don't care. If they cared, they would already have known not to do it. And so you're not going to get them to stop doing it by telling them it's wrong because they don't care it's wrong. Wrong is where they want to be. And so the only defense against that is the athlete either having no social media presence or having a social media presence that's moderated by a third party, or just having their own, you know, their own posting and using and not using the interactive features, not using your mentions or your DMs,
which prevents them from having interactions from people they would like to.
Yes, but that's the price, I guess, for the fact that there are people in the world who don't care what etiquette or convention are, and so yeah, you have to do different things. I mean, you can't interact on social media with people you'd want to, but you can interact by text and by phone and other such communication devices. There are still ways to get around that. If I were an athlete, I would not check my mentions ever. I mean, I would not have open DMs either, because I wouldn't want to hear from anybody. I mean, I get enough stuff just being a commentator, an analyst, a journalist. I get enough of that stuff, and some of it's vile and some of it's profane. And though the people there are certain things that are automatic blocks for me. And so that's the way I handle it. And I'm not sure whether that's a positive approach or not, but it's the way I am able to continue interacting with people who are rational and reasonable, is to not have the irrational and unreasonable people in my mentions. But with athletes there, I mean, I have 50,000 followers, 55, something like that. A famous athlete can have multiple millions. And so it's really hard for them to have any interaction with the people they want in that circumstance anyway. So better for them to text or call or use some other direct messaging device that I don't know much about. Like, I don't know like how WhatsApp works or whatever. I don't know.
Do you have any, what you would call, famous followers that you don't really have any interaction with that was kind of like, oh wow, that someone that followed you that you didn't expect?
Yeah, but usually when that happens, Jim, it turns out they follow like 100,000 people or something.
Well, my one that I put into that category when it happened, I was just like, what the hell? Jose Canseco.
There you go.
And I'm like, what the hell? Why? There's no crossover whatsoever. I always found it funny, and I laugh about it. But yeah, funny stuff. The coaching carousel is going on right now. UNLV, it looked like they were going in one direction, then all of a sudden they're going in another direction. But a trend that I see besides Ben McCollum going to Iowa, you've got Sean Miller going to Texas, Will Wade going to North Carolina State, Josh Pastner to UNLV. One thing all three of those coaches have in common, their tenures did not end smoothly without the somewhat the FBI involved in two of those. I'm sure Book Richardson would like a job at Texas. I don't think he can make that happen, but it's amazing how the people are able to overlook things now as far as hiring a coach.
Well, I'm in an atmosphere when the things that that allegedly happened at, for instance, at LSU are not, if they had happened, are not against the rules any longer. So,
right, but does that matter if you cheat? If you were cheating then because it was cheating, now it's not, and I get that and I understand. But when you when you're on an FBI wiretap, the fact that you're on an FBI wiretap, that's got to be problematic in and of itself.
Well, I mean, if you in the case of that, I mean, you're not on the wiretap because of you, though. I mean, that's not it's a very complicated case, but he was not on the wiretap because of him. That's he got onto their radar for other reasons. But when it comes to Will, I mean, I like I said, how can you be bothered by the strong offer, so to speak, when strong offers are the norm now? Stronger offers than that, honestly, to nearly every player that is of great significance are getting stronger offers than were supposedly than was supposedly made to that particular athlete back in 2017 or 18 or whatever year it was. So I'm not surprised that that would be the case, that especially in this environment. I mean, remember Kelvin Sampson lost his job in Indiana over 10 phone calls, basically. And now,
Indiana fans still carry the biggest grudge against him. And that one kind of blows my mind. You talk about things that are no longer problematic. That rule was changed the very next year. And we're not talking about paying players. We're not talking about all this undercover crap. Phone calls and text messages. That one always, I see an Indiana fan have such disdain for him, I'm like, he's the best coach Indiana has hired since Bob Knight. And he made phone calls. Yeah, he was trying to get around the rules, but he wasn't paying players. He wasn't doing this crazy stuff that was going on. That was going on at Kansas. That was going on at Duke. That was going on at these places that were dominant. And it's a little ironic that Kansas is a great example. Boy, even with a multi-million dollar payroll, have they been equalized in this era of the transfer portal?
Well, I think in Kansas's case, they went away from what made them great. What made Kansas great in the teens? They recruited Frank Mason away from VCU, I think, or somebody like that. Somebody relatively at the next level, and Frank Mason became National Player of the Year. They recruited lots of players that became significant that were not highly regarded or super highly regarded, that were not necessarily five stars, that turned into outstanding players. And their ability to develop that player is what separated them from everybody else. And they got away from that. And that's part of the problem with why they are where they are now. I mean, Ochai Agbaji was like 100th in his class, became a first-team All-American and a first-round pick. Christian Brown, another player who was not super highly regarded. But they found those guys, and they developed them. And then when the portal thing started, they said, hey, this is easier. They're already developed, supposedly. Well, yeah, Hunter Dickinson was already developed into the player that he was for you for 2 years, in which you won one NCAA tournament game and finished, I think, fifth and sixth in the Big 12 after winning it, like, how many years in a row? You've got to do what you do best. And that's what people miss. And this whole portal thing, the last two champions, Connecticut, okay, did they have portal guys on there? Yeah, Tristan Newton was really important to them. Cam Spencer was really important to them. But what was the core of their team? That's the narrative, again, is burying the truth, Jim, that both of those UConn champions were built around players who were recruited out of high school and were either mid-level top recruits like a Donovan Klingon, who was, I think, 45th in his class, something like that. Steph Castle was a five-star, you know, five-alarm guy. You wanted him. Andre Jackson was not that guy. Jordan Hawkins was, I think, in the 30s. And they built championship teams with that. And who played for the championship last year? How many portal guys did that team have? They had one. Lance Jones, very important, hit the biggest shot in Purdue that anybody has hit at Purdue since Rick Mao, probably. But the rest of those guys were all recruited out of high school. Everybody wants to think it's an easy shortcut, Jim, and that's why they're doing it. But that those teams have yet to win it. Do you want to get the guy to fill your gap with a guy like Cam Spencer? Darn right. You have to. Tristan Newton comes in, and it took forever for him to be the player that he ultimately was in the NCAA tournament in 23 and then the great player he was in 24. It took forever to get to that spot. So it wasn't a shortcut in that sense. But when he got there, they became great. And that's – so it's not easy. People think that it's easy. Hey, we can go get a seven-footer who can score and rebound. Oh, isn't that going to be great? And did it turn out great, Jim? It really didn't, did it?
No, it did not work as well as they had thought. I've got like a minute left in this segment, and I hate to – do you have time to do another segment? I know you're busy, and I've
asked I actually don't. So if you want to throw it at me quick, I'll answer it quick.
What do you think of the IU hire of Darren DeVries?
Yeah, I think he's a terrific coach, and I don't know Darren well. I was at one of his games when they played Pitt, and it was such a bad affair for them that I didn't really want to push for a conversation after that. And they got just absolutely run off the floor in November of this past season, but an outstanding coach. And I think that's going to help it. The rest of it, he's going to have to manage. I mean, it's a big job, not just getting better, but dealing with being the IU coach. That's the part he's going to have to handle. And I think he should do some research on that part of it. Ask the people who are in those jobs, what it's like, ask Mark Pope, Ask Hubert Davis, what's it like? Because you get a ton of attention. But if he can manage that and thrive in it, he can be an outstanding coach for IU.
Mike DeCourcy from the Big Ten Fox Networks and the Sporting News. Make sure you're keeping up with him as he goes through the NCAA tournament and beyond. Thank you, brother. We appreciate
Thanks,
you as
Jim.
Always.
My pleasure.
That's going to wrap it up for this hour. We've got more coming up, including Trent Sicily. We'll talk to him about everything going on with him. He's about to be playing up here in the Chipotle Nationals. And, of course, he's got a new coach. We've got more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. On this Tuesday, it is NCAA week number two as the Sweet 16 is upon us, and looking forward because, man, if you look down the teams remaining, Duke, Florida, Houston, Auburn, all number one seeds still remaining in the tournament. Actually, did we lose the number one seed, actually? One, two, three, four. No. Oh, yeah. And then as far as number two seeds, I think three out of the four are still remaining. Yeah. Michigan State, Alabama, and Tennessee. Of that group, Michigan State didn't get the credit. We didn't give them the credit they probably deserve at the end of the season. They just started playing extraordinarily well, and they might be the only team that just doesn't have a superstar on their team. They're a true team. So, man, you can't count a team like that out because they're not having – to rely on one guy, whereas a lot of these other teams are. ESPN has them ranked on who they think will win the tournament as far as where they are now. Duke, number one. Florida, number two. I think Florida wins this thing. Houston, who will take on Purdue, and I think that I think Purdue runs into too much trouble here. I think that the guards, Houston's guards, are just going to smother Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. But we'll see. Houston has had problems last couple years. Last year they had an injury that happened late was it the Elite Eight, maybe? I forget, somewhere around then. But the thing is, people are complaining about the Cinderellas, but these are great games still. These games are close. These games are good games, and I expect these to be the same, especially as we go through the remainder of this tournament. Michigan State, like I said, Kentucky, a little bit of a surprise as they make the Sweet 16. We'll see about the Wildcats. Texas Tech rolling on. How about BYU? BYU is a team Indiana fans should look at. I believe, isn't that where Mark Pope came from that's now at Kentucky? Well, BYU is in their first Sweet 16 that they have made since 2011. New coach. Brand new coach. So, Michigan, brand new coach. Sweet 16. Maryland's in the Sweet 16. Arizona. Ole Miss. And Chris Beard, of course, Purdue. And Arkansas with John Calipari. And I mentioned earlier some of the coaching changes going on. Josh Pastner was formerly at Georgia Tech, and had been doing TV work. North Carolina State hires Will Wade. Texas, Sean Miller. All three of these coaches, a little bit of problems. Josh Pastner was out of a job because he got caught cheating. Will Wade had a show cause because he got caught cheating. Sean Miller, I don't think anything was ever proven on him. It was just everyone around him. He comes out smelling like a rose, baby. That's a hell of a job to get down in Texas. And now he's in the SEC. And the SEC continues to build up their basketball programs. Who do you have winning this thing, man? I'm looking forward to these games this weekend. Gets back underway on Thursday. BYU takes on Alabama in the first game on CBS at 7. Alabama, 5.5-point favorite. Maryland takes on Florida. I just think Florida's too much for Maryland. I mean, like I said, I picked Florida to win the national championship. So that's going to be a tough road to hoe. But if Maryland's hot, Maryland gets hot. Arizona, Duke. I don't think that Arizona has enough for Duke, but, and they're an 8.5-point favorite, one of the biggest spreads, if not the biggest spread out there, as Texas Tech is a 5.5-point favorite over Arkansas. I'll take Texas Tech. I'll take Duke. I'll take Florida. I'll take Alabama. You know what? I'm going to take BYU over Alabama. Upset. My upset there of those four. Then on Friday, you've got another round of four games. Your favorite coach, Chris Beard, and Ole Miss takes on Michigan State and the incomparable Tom Izzo. Michigan State has just been playing well, but they're only a 3.5-point favorite. That's the lowest we've seen. Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite over Kentucky. Kentucky beat Tennessee twice this season, both home and away. You know, that hard to beat a team three times crap, which I've said it yesterday. Yeah, well, it might be, but not if you're better than they are. But I think Tennessee beats Kentucky this time around. Michigan and Auburn, I just don't see Michigan having enough for Auburn in this, and Houston-Purdue. I think Houston wins that one as well. So I see a lot of chalk, as a matter of fact. Chalk, 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 chalk in all four of those. We'll see how it turns out. I'm just looking forward to the games. Looking forward to that. And no, there are no more Cinderellas in this. That's right. Izzo has been to the NCAA tournament 27 straight years. That's a mark of excellence. It's crazy. It is a mark of excellence. UConn not going to be repeating, as I did not expect that anyway. But Derek says he heard Well, I'll be honest with you. There are some people I really don't care what they have to say. And it's not that I don't like the person or something. It's just, but Derek said he heard John Fanta say he feels IU fans need to drop the expectation of Final Fours and Banner Six for a bit. Focus on getting to the dance and making a Sweet 16. You know what? I think John Fanta needs to not worry about what Indiana fans need to do. They're not going to listen to him. First of all, nobody cares what John Fant has to say about Indiana basketball. Honestly, in my opinion, you don't lower your standards. You know why? If you lower the bar, that's what you shoot for. You keep the bar high. Now, I'm not saying IU fans need to be nut jobs, but no one should lower their standards. No. You do not lower your standards. If you want if you want to be here, that's where your standard has to be. And that's what you have to aspire to be too. So I think John Fanta needs to worry about whatever the hell he's worried about. And not something he doesn't really know about. Robert says, what eats his craw is hearing all about teams making multiple appearances in the tourney, Sweet 16, Elite 8. Final Four, and Indiana came. That's another thing, though. And I'm not getting on you, Robert, but you got to let this stuff go. Focus on the here and the now. If you're for Indiana fans, you have a new coach. You have a breath of fresh air. Everything is new. Everything is going to be new. You're going to have a new team. Chill out. Focus towards that. Don't focus towards what happened last year. Don't focus on what happened the year before that. That staff is gone. Don't focus on that staff. Don't focus on those players. Look ahead. Looking backwards does nothing. It gains you zero. So I will say, chill out on that. And just focus on head and don't reach out to players, man. Yeah, I would be winning the bracket only if I'd been able to get one in. Damn it. No, this may have been one of my better brackets though, because it was, I just felt it was going chalky. I said that several times and it has been pretty much just that chalky. I think it's going to stay that way. I do believe it is going to remain that way. William says a lot of good new coaches coming into the Big Ten. Hasn't been that many job changes, has there? I mean, other than Ben McCollum and Darren DeVries, and ironically, Ben McCollum was either going to be at Indiana or Iowa, likely, but he ends up at Iowa. You've got Darren DeVries, who Ben McCollum replaced at Drake. So Drake has put two coaches into the Big Ten in the same year, within a year of being at Drake. So that speaks highly of their program, and whoever gets that job, they're going to have some pressure to live up to. Two coaches prior to them have done very, very well. Cisco says DeVries is not a high standard, high bar higher, in their opinion. Not sure how you can say that. I don't know how anybody, you cannot predict. Let me put it this way. When Kentucky hired Mark Pope, when Louisville hired Pat Kelsey, that's the best one yet, Pat Kelsey, would anybody have considered that a high bar hire? I can answer that for everybody. No, you did not. No, I did not. I had never even heard of Pat Kelsey, but I think he did a pretty, pretty, pretty good job this year. And he built a team in totality, 13 new scholarship players. So not only did he come into a big-time job, he had to rebuild the roster and did a hell of a job doing so. So why people are judging this hire I don't know what you're judging it on. I really don't. There has not been any reason to think that things are not going to go well. Look at BYU. They lose their coach, okay, to Kentucky. Then they hire somebody else that you have also not heard of, and yet they're in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2011. Don't be so judgmental on things. Let things play out. I mean, I am completely a blank slate. I've got a blank slate. What did you think? Did you think Kurt Cignetti was a home run hire when you first heard it? There's no way that many people did. I guarantee there's no one that had expected what transpired last year in Indiana football. So just, I don't see the point or the reason of being judgmental on things before anything has ever happened. Let it play, baby. Let it play. I'm pretty sure that Darren DeVries knows how to coach basketball. He's done a good job, and he now is at a bigger place where he can aspire to bigger things, better resources. He'll get the opportunity to prove all of us right, wrong, indifferent, whatever the case is. But I would just chill out, people. Wait to see the roster that gets put together. I'm going to imagine it's going to be, I've said this, I think that next season Indiana fans are going to be very happy with the product they see on the floor. I think that they're going to see a team that has a system, that plays towards winning, that plays together, that plays within the system they are working on, that has the right players in the right places doing the right things. Not that they're not going to make mistakes. Of course they are. I'm not saying they're going to be perfect. I'm not saying they're going to win the Big Ten title. But I am saying I would expect them to be competitive in that upper echelon. There's no reason to think otherwise. And why, if you're a fan, why put yourself through that consternation? I'd be excited that it's a dawn of a new day. You have the opportunity to get out of your funk of following Indiana basketball for the last 4 years, 8 years, 10 years, to be honest with you, of kind of nothing, 10 straight years. So relax, let it roll, man. Let it roll. It's not, Joey says, it's not your first. Oh, if you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby. There you go. Little Ricky Bobby in there. So we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Trent Sisley at Montverde Academy, but he will soon be up in Indianapolis at Hamilton Southeastern High School. And April 2nd at Hamilton Southeastern, the Chipotle National Finals, high school national finals that has 8 teams that are all top of the line. I mean, this is talent, people, and it'd be worth going to check it out, the teams that are playing in this. It's the top 8 teams from around the country. Montverde is the defending national champion. Matter of fact, they went undefeated last season in winning this national championship, but I also will say that that team was loaded like no other. You've seen most of their team. Some of them are still playing in the NCAA tournament. Liam McNeely's days are done, but Derek Queen is still playing. Asa Newell is still playing. They've got CJ Engram on their team that is going to Florida. And that happens on April 2nd is the beginning of it. Montverde 28-0 has been the number one ranked boys team in the country since the preseason. We've got Trent Sisley up next. Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio here on this Tuesday. So happy to have you along with us, and even happier to have a familiar face, Trent Sisley, joining us from Montverde Academy down in Florida as he is working to get ready for the that will take place at Hamilton Southeastern High School coming up on, I believe, April 2nd is the first day. But first of all, Trent, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy workload, man.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on again.
It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I know you've been working hard. What's it like now? The regular season's over. Your focus is towards the Chipotle Nationals. Big legacy for Montverde. They've been there a lot. But this is no country for old men, man. These teams are all tough. That's the best of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. This is part of the reason I came down here, you know, just to play in events like this and for it to finally be time, you know, and obviously it's cool. It's in Indiana. Should be a lot of IE fans and, you know, IE people there. So it'll be fun to go home and, you know, play in front of the fans one more time. And then obviously, like I said, this is why I came down here to play in this.
Yeah, and it's a huge event. I was up there last year, and there will be some gigantic names in it, like yourself, but a lot of other guys that you get to play against. And you start out, the first game is against Dynamic Prep. Who are some guys that on there that people might know?
On the other team?
Yeah.
Jermaine O'Neal Jr., Jermaine O'Neal's son. Yeah. Jaden Toombs, I think they're both going to SMU, so it should be a good first round, good first matchup.
And when you know you're getting to play against guys like that, guys who have fathers that played in the NBA, played on the Pacers, but that does that drive you more to succeed, to try to win? I know you were always trying to win, but sometimes you're just those things that give you that extra push.
Yeah, I obviously it's cool, you know, to play against guys like that, you know, with bigger names. But at the end of the game, it's just a game and just another game. You know, we're going to go try and do our thing and try to win.
And I've watched a lot of videos, posted a lot of videos this year of you, and it's obvious your game has really just – you've gotten better and better, which was the whole purpose of going down to Montverde. I remember when you did it. We've talked about it a bunch. But I know it wasn't easy, but it was a grown-up decision for a grown-up reason. How happy are you now after this season of going down there, especially with where your game is?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I'm playing better. I think I'm a little more confident just based on our schedule this year, the players we played and the teams we played. Like you said, it's a tough decision coming down here, but I think it's benefited me so much this year. And my shot's getting better just consistently every day, you know, having to bring it, stuff like that. So I think it's helped me tremendously.
Yeah, and I've seen you down at the Montverde Invitational. I was down there for that. And when you had – there was A.J. DeVanza there. There's all kinds of really good players there that you guys went against, and you guys pulled that out again. That was a tough tournament to win, and you guys beat some really good teams. That has to be a great preparation for once you get to college.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just the detailed scouting reports, everyday practices, stuff like that, you know, getting ready for those type of guys. And then obviously that translates, you know, helps you moving forward, like you said, into college. So that's been huge for me this year.
And I know your family is as happy and proud as can be of you, first of all, making that decision and doing that because it wasn't easy, but following you along your travels. And now you get to come home to play in the Chipotle Nationals, which is pretty cool to get to end it here in Indiana. That has to be exciting to get to, if you're going to end your high school career, to end it right there in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. It's, you know, my second time playing in the state this year. We were up in La Porte earlier in the year, which is obviously far away from Bloomington, and, you know, far from Indy, but it was still a lot of IU people there. So it was cool to see that support. And then hopefully it'll be like that again in Indy. So it should be a fun time.
Absolutely. For the folks that want to go out there, don't forget April 2nd at Hamilton Southeastern, number 7 Montverde versus number 10 Dynamic Prep. That's at 6:15, the first game. And if they win, they play again the following day. This is a one time and you're out, right?
Yeah, single elimination.
So that puts a lot of pressure on you as well, knowing that that is sitting there. But how forward are you looking to getting to perform in front of Indiana people, whether it's, you know, IU people or just from people from high school, friends, family, because you didn't get to do a lot of that at Montverde?
Yeah, you know, when I left, you know, that was obviously part of the sacrifice. Not playing in, you know, Indiana Association, you know, traveling, you know, to nearby places and, you know, playing in front of hometowns. But you know, it's been cool, you know, the experience that I've had this year, you know, being able to travel the country, stuff like that. And then, like you said, it'll be fun to be able to come home and play in front of Indiana fans one more time during my high school career before college.
And now, knowing you would have been an Indiana All-Star and in the running for Mr. Basketball, how hard was that to give that up? I know those are individual awards.
Yeah, it was, you know, part of the factor, but obviously I wanted to get myself ready for college. And, you know, I made the junior All-Star last year, so, you know, I kind of had that. I was in the core group, so, you know, I probably would have made the senior one, but, you know, that wasn't, you know, a huge thing of mine because I already had the junior, so it wasn't too big a deal.
It all counts. We already know you're going to be an All-Star, so that's all right. That that just goes by. We'll have to just get you a uniform. But then also, obviously, you're coming to Indiana. That's a huge something you have looked forward to for a long, long time. And there's going to be change at Indiana. There's obviously a new coach there, but there's some history with the Sisley family of sorts. Your brother Blake, who, when he was playing at Evansville, played against Tucker DeVries, who was at Drake at the time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I definitely watched both of those games. I think they played Drake twice that year. So I was at the Ford Center watching when that happens. You know, it's cool to be coached by him and then play with Tucker.
Yeah, how wild is that, how the world just comes around like that? I mean, to come full swing, that stuff is just crazy.
Yeah, it's super cool.
And you've seen him then, obviously, as a coach when he was at Drake and whatnot, and I know that hasn't been your focus, but from what little you have seen, what are you looking forward to? What do you think about how his teams have played?
Yeah, you know, seems like a really good coach. You know, he made the NCAA tournament, you know, a lot when he was at Drake, and like you said, my brother being in the Missouri Valley, so, you know, I obviously know about him a little bit, kept up with Drake when he was there a little bit, so it'll be, you know, I talked to him a few times too now since he's, you know, accepted the job. So he called me, you know, about 30 minutes after it happened, and then talked to him a few days ago too on FaceTime when he was just sitting in the facility. So, you know, it's been good to get to know him, and then I'm excited for next year.
Yeah, that had to be exciting for him, knowing that this just happened, and 30 minutes afterwards, you're obviously a priority. That has to feel good, and that has to send the message to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it got announced, and then, you know, obviously you're just waiting to hear, you know, see if he wants you, stuff like that. So then, you know, it was good to hear from him quick, and then obviously he reassured that, you know, he still wants me there, and then he thinks I can fit in his system. So it was good to hear from him so quick.
Yeah, there was no way. I mean, you're like I said, you've been playing extraordinarily well, and you'd fit in a lot of people's systems. I don't think you have to worry about that with your game going. But now, with all that behind, you've got the Chipotle to finish up. But as soon as that's over, you've got May, and then I guess you'll be reporting to IU in June.
Yeah, Chipotle's, you know, first week of April. You know, and then down here, you know, working out, finishing school up, and then graduate from here in the middle of May, and then, you know, go home, you know, stay ready, keep working out, stuff like that. And then, yeah, I think IU beginning of June.
What are some things you want to do when you get home? Non-basketball. Just I want to be Trent. I want to hang out. I want to go get whatever. Go to Santa Claus Land or whatever is going on. What does Trent Sisley like to do to get away from it all?
Yeah, I think I just want to obviously just hang out with friends, stuff like that. You know, see people I haven't seen a whole lot, you know, throughout the past year. And I think we're taking a family vacation, so that'll be, you know, a fun, quick little vacation, you know, once my parents and stuff get out of school and my sister and brother and stuff like that. So that should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely, because you haven't gotten to spend a lot of time with your parents. Your siblings are in college, but now you're going to be reunited with them again. So you've been away from your brother and sister for a while, but now you guys will be together of sorts at school. Are either of them graduating yet?
No, both of my older siblings have one more year, so being up there next year with them should be fun.
So are they going to rookie Raj you any?
I don't know. We'll see.
Especially your brother Blake. I mean, he's got a. You're a freshman. He's got to give you the business, man. Come on.
Hey, we'll see.
Well, yeah, you're kind of big enough. I mean, you broke his records. He may not be happy about that. So, do you guys ever get a chance to play like just goofing around?
Yeah, we played a few times, obviously a lot growing up. You know, he used to kill me just being bigger than me all the time. But I think that's helped me and, you know, made me tougher at the end of the day. And then, you know, now when we play, you know, I think I have the edge. So I beat him the last few times.
Well, that's always tough when little brother starts to take over, man, I'm telling you. But so now that you've got the Chipotle up next, then – Are you out of school at that point?
No, I think we finish up middle of May. So, you know, just working out down here, you know, staying on top of your game and until we graduate. And then, you know, like IU, I get to IU up in, you know, early June.
So you won't have a lot of time then if you're at school till mid-May. You guys got to squeeze it all in quick. It all comes fast, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
And then once, are you excited to see about the team that's going to come together? Obviously, Luke Goody is trying to get another year, and that would be good for the program if he could, obviously. And then, of course, Tucker DeVries. But the pieces that are going to be added here soon, are you excited to see who all is going to be filling those in?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, that's kind of the unknown for everyone right now. But I think Coach DeVries, you know, he'll be able to, you know, put a good team together, you know, get some guys that he likes and, you know, that can help us win next year.
What's the thing you're looking to most about getting to college, getting to IU?
Yeah, I think just obviously the basketball part of it for me, you know, just being able to, you know, win games in Assembly Hall and then, you know, try and get IU basketball back where it needs to be.
Yeah, how important is that to you? I mean, you're a Southern Indiana guy. You are a Hoosiers kind of guy through and through. How important is that? Because I know that your dad, your family grew up watching it, and you know about the history. And to be a part of being able to bring that back would be pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up a fan. You know, pay close attention. And once I started getting recruited, you know, you kind of got to take all that out of it for a little while. But, you know, ended up committing there. So now it's, you know, I can be part of that now too. And hopefully return it back to what it needs to be.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
I think Cody Zeller kind of has
big
to be.
Man, the big man.
Yeah.
He's the big handsome.
Yeah, from kind of close to me, went to Washington. You know, we played them there in our conference, you know, last few years when I was at Heritage Hills. So, you know, him just being from there and then obviously had a legendary career. So,
Well, and he was a part of getting Indiana back from a bad place and back up to the top to a team that was actually ranked number one in the country. And if you can be a part of that, let me tell you, the people will go crazy because the fans are just starving for I think, a bunch of players like yourself and a team that will do what it takes to win, and they're looking forward to it, and I know you are as well. And you've got the next 3-4 years, who knows, of your life that's going to be a part of that. What's it like knowing that much of your life is kind of planned out?
Yeah, it's kind of surreal. Obviously, you grow up, and then for now that to be here, after committed, this fall, and then kind of play out this last year, and then now new coach, stuff like that. So it'll be super fun the next 4 years to be able to compete, in the Big Ten, and then hopefully in the NCAA tournament as well.
Absolutely, because through your 4 years, the tournament will rotate through Indianapolis maybe a couple of times, which that would obviously be sweet to get to play in the NCAA tournament and at home. But period, it would be fun, as I know you're watching. Who do you have winning it this year? It's kind of cheating a little bit since we're already part of the way through. But I had Florida. I'm not going to lie. I had Florida from the start. That was my team that I thought would win it.
Me too. One of my teammates is going to Florida. We're all pretty tight. So, they got that one seed, and they've been playing pretty well. So I do have Florida
too. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, CJ Ingram.
Oh yeah. CJ. I got to speak with him down there, but Florida, man, they've looked good. But this entire NCAA tournament, college basketball has really gotten where everybody is almost equal. I mean, there are obviously some great teams, but it's going to be very tough playing teams from all over the place because Iowa State, very good. Doesn't matter. They don't have to come from the blue bloods anymore. So we see these guys get knocked off, but it's been kind of chalky in this tournament. But who do you have in the Final Four?
Yeah, I think if I remember right, Michigan State, maybe.
They've been playing surprisingly well, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the regions. I think I had Tennessee, maybe.
Tennessee and Kentucky play this week.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Kentucky beat them twice, but it's hard to beat a team three times, as they say. So we'll see. Well, man, I know that you have got plenty to get to, probably got some studying to do, rest to get to, and everything else. I cannot tell you, as always, how much I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you in April up at Hamilton Southeastern High School. Don't forget, people, April 2nd, you can go check him out and support Trent Sisley at Hamilton Southeastern as Montverde takes on Dynamic Prep at 6:15 on April 2nd. Appreciate you so much, Trent.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on again.
Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Hope everybody is doing well. I hope you enjoyed the talk with Trent Sisley. And for you, if you had any doubts on whether or not his commitment, there are no doubts. I've been pretty adamant about that all along. And as you see that with Coach DeVries calling him 30 minutes after his introduction, that he was a priority. And he wanted to make sure that he knew that. I think that Trent will get to meet with Coach DeVries next week when he is up for the Chipotle Nationals up in Hamilton Southeastern. I don't think the coach can go, because I think that's a dead period. I'll have to look to see if he can go to that or not. I don't think so, because I remember not seeing any coaches there last year. They definitely have spoken a couple of times, and so Darren DeVries is making his rounds and making them quickly, talking to other players, talking to the Indiana players. Zach Osterman had a piece, and we'll talk to Zach on Friday about it, but that not only is Coach Darren DeVries talking to the current Indiana players, but he's talking to the ones that are leaving. an exit interview of sorts to see, I think, what went well, what didn't go well, what they liked, just all kinds of things. I'm not even sure what all they're talking about. But so he's meeting with everybody, current players, players that are going out. And then, of course, he's got to hit the portal as the portal is now open. So he has a lot of work to do. He's got to put his staff together, which I know that he's very, very busy on doing that because it's kind of hard to do all of this without a staff. So it'll be interesting to see if there are any holdovers in the peripheral part of the staff. And by that, I mean, I expect Jordan Hulls to still be around in a capacity. Not sure what that capacity will be. Will Calbert Chaney be there? Not sure yet. I don't know that he won't. I would imagine that if he wants to be, that he would be there in some capacity. So we'll have to see. But Fred says, Trent interviews well. Yeah, very good kid. Appreciate, and I shouldn't call him a young man. I should not call him a kid. He's a great young man from a great family, of course. And understand something he didn't mention, that he was probably going to be, what, they have a family vacation coming up, which not a lot of time. And you see these guys don't have a lot of time. He has the Chipotle Nationals next week, but then he has high school to finish, which, as you heard him say, doesn't get done until mid-May. Well, he's got like a month before he's going to be reporting to Bloomington, to the Indiana basketball team, and they're in around early to mid-June. So maybe just 3 weeks. So they've got to squeeze in his time off to be able to go just to hang out, try to have a somewhat of a normal life, a family vacation. And I understand he might be getting his butt kicked on the golf course on that. I wish I would have been able to ask him about that, but we'll, I'll find out afterwards how that went. But yeah, so hopefully it's a great time for them. And now we get to look forward to seeing the team that Darren DeVries starts putting together. As you heard Trent say, he's excited to see who all they will be. I know that a lot of people keep mentioning the Enright kid. I think that he's pretty much coming to Indiana. I don't know that that's really a doubt. That's something I've been hearing for a minute. So I don't think that that's going to, I expect that to happen. Yes, Ja'Kai Newton is in the portal. I guess that was being funny. Let's see. Yeah. But all the Indiana guys that are in the portal, some might come back. You don't know. But Mackenzie Ibaka mentioned testing the NBA waters, and Mackenzie Ibaka has talent. Do not get me wrong. He has one of the sweetest shooting strokes there is. And he can create his own shots. But personally, from watching him, the first thing I see is motor. He doesn't have a motor that runs high. He's kind of in second gear a lot. And that leads to a lack of two things: a lack of movement without the ball and a lack of movement on defense. His defense is not good. I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. You cannot be a complete washout as a defensive player in the NBA unless you're one hell of an offensive player and you're just knocking it down. And while he can shoot, we haven't seen him just knock it down. We haven't seen him have those games. And again, I think that goes back to the motor, not moving without the ball, but also not being in a good system. But it seems like he kind of quits, pouts when things aren't going his way, when his first shots don't go down. There was just a lot of, he just seemed to be up and down mentally this year. Don't know everything that was going on between him and the coaches and how that was handled, but he spent a lot of time on the pine in the latter stages of the season. Mike Woodson didn't mind sitting him out when he just kept disappearing from games, was not producing. Now, again, part of that I will attribute to a faulty system. But the other half, I'm not. Players play. Players do, man. Scorers score. Shooters shoot. That's just the facts. And I just don't see that drive in him. Could be wrong. Maybe no one has brought that out of him yet. We'll see. Hey, if you're following us on YouTube, please hit the like button. We'd really appreciate that, especially if you've enjoyed today's program. But Indiana now putting together a staff and a roster, which don't get paranoid about the portal. Man, more and more players are going to be entering the portal. There are 16 teams that are still playing in the NCAA tournament, a lot of which has players that will be hitting the portal. Trust you me, there are going to be a wealth of names that continue to come out, that continue to hit it. And Darren DeVries knows that. He also knows he needs to wait or get the players that he wants, he needs, that he feels will fit into the system that he is building at his latest stop at Indiana. I see some people laying on that this was a bad hire, this and that. First of all, there is no way you can say that because you don't know that until there is proof in the pudding. He gets the opportunity to go out and do whatever. I mean, again, I hate to repeat myself, but how many people do you think that said Pat Kelsey was a home run hire? How many people thought that the Utah coach was a home run hire? Do you know where Todd Golden came from to Florida? San Francisco. What the hell was he doing in San Francisco? Not a lot. But guess what he's doing in Florida? He's got the team that I think is going to win a national championship. And even if they don't, they're one of the teams that can win the national championship. So people, I think they get hung up on names. You know, for the people that, I think it's just Chris Beard that most people are still hung up on. And all I'll say to that is, you still don't know what you don't know. I think everybody thinks that whether or not Indiana hired him came down to one instance that is what is most widely known. I'm pretty sure that is not all that went into that. And yeah, character is something that I think Indiana looked at. And then we've seen some mentions, well, so-and-so left West Virginia after 1 year. Well, I'm sure he wishes the timing was different, but I'm also sure that a year ago he didn't expect to be offered the job of a lifetime. If you're at, and I posted this, but if you're at Apple and you have a pretty good position at Apple, you're leading one of their divisions. Year later, you get an offer from Google to head up a bigger division, one of the biggest divisions they have. If someone took that position, are they going to be viewed as having no character because a job of a lifetime was offered to them and they took it? No. And I don't understand for the life of me why people are acting like this is the case here. It's not. It's bad timing. It's just bad timing as far as the 1 year thing. I don't think he reached out to Indiana. He didn't. So again, consider that. He did not reach out to Indiana. He built West Virginia into a tournament team, a team that was last in the Big 12. So chill out, relax. How about letting a season come and go and watch what you see on the floor and see if things look different or not? That would be my advice, but I guess we need some salty IU fans. Kind of balances out the side. Not a problem with that. Not a problem. And also, don't forget that this year, the scholarship limit goes from 13 to 15. More spots to have to fill on the roster. Now, are those extra two spots meaningful? I don't think so. Not really. You don't play 12 guys. You don't play 11 guys. You don't play 13 guys. So 14 and 15. But now they may have eliminated, have they eliminated the walk-ons, I believe, doing in football. So that takes you down practice. If that is the case, that would take you down practice players. But I don't know that adding two more roster spots does anything for anybody. You just don't get that far down. And if you do, you're in trouble. Your team is in trouble. Yes, Newton is in the portal, but he's going to be hard pressed. He has nothing to show anybody other than, you know, he's a great athlete, but his injury, I don't know where he is with that, but it's going to be tough for somebody to take him with having 2 years of an injury-prone career, which, like I said, I don't know where he is now, but wish him the luck, all the best in the world. So, and then Mackenzie Mbako, I mentioned him a minute ago, that's going to test the NBA waters. Somebody will take a shot at him because he is a good shooter. But I really, really wonder where he winds up. This is a guy that was a former Duke commitment, man. And I wonder where he would have fit in on that Duke team this season. It would have been interesting to see because they're having a great year. And I don't know how he would have fit in with that. Because not many coaches are going to play guys that can't play defense. So, let's see. Any other comments we're hitting up here on the hotline? And appreciate everybody joining us on the hotline today on YouTube, where you can follow us along as well. And just hit the like button. You can subscribe if you want. But hit the like button no matter what. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Not that I need to tell you that. You probably already know. But that means the great Rick Bozich will be with us. Well, now that we've got a week into this, last time we spoke to Rick, it was anticipated that this was coming. He was on his way to Lexington for that regional, the NCAA regional. So we'll talk to Rick about and get his thoughts on the coaching situation. And Rick has been around longer than most people as far as really covering Indiana basketball. He's covered it since 76. He is a very unbiased reporter, and look forward to hearing what Rick has to say on that. Michael says, Trent Sisley is an unusual kid in the respect he's one of the very few that knows something about the IU basketball glory days. He's an Indiana kid. Through and through. Indiana hasn't had those guys of late. That's the thing. And I think you're going to see more of that. Not all, because you can't have all. But I think you're going to have a mix. And Indiana needs a mix of that. You need a mix of that to have culture. To have I can't think of it, but to continue the traditions keep them on the good side, but you have to have people that know about it, that have gone through it, that have watched it, that know about it before, not reading it in a book. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how this team starts coming together. Man, a big thanks to my man Mike DeCourcy for joining us, and Trent Sisley. Big thanks to each and every one of you guys. Without you, we have no reason to be here. We're so happy to be able to talk to you each and every day. We're back tomorrow to do it all again. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.